Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Welcome to episode 117 of the Unholy Trinity Podcast, brought to you in association with Sport Social, the UK's only dedicated sports podcast network. And also Fanatics, delighted to say, stayed on to do the preview. Matt Dillon is with us today. As we're going to look ahead to the FA Cup, third and FA Cup tie against Hull. I was going to say Hull Kingston Rovers then, the rugby team of the league team. they popped in my head. Maybe we put a rugby league team, I might actually win a game, but we're playing Hull, third round of the FA Cup. Always great to kickstart the FA Cup. Fantastic competition, a chance of silverware, maybe not this season, who knows? But it's a big game, Matty, isn't it? You know, it's a break from the Premier League where we're struggling massively at the moment, it's got to be said. We go away to Hull live on BBC One, I think 5:30 Saturday. So it's important. The FA Cup can really be a catalyst, can't it, to kickstart things and hopefully turn things around for us.
Oh, trust me, yeah. You know, I think obviously everyone's been looking forward to it. I think I'm the only Blue who's not actually going over. So Hull mate, by the sounds of speaking to a few people. It's my birthday on a Sunday, so I couldn't get over. Just a bit of a shout out to a few of the lads who actually come from Hull for every home game. Ian, Mark and Stocky today, actually everyone seems to be going over to them rather than the other way around. So I know they'll be looking forward to it. But absolutely massive game, mate. I think, you know, you look at it, they're obviously not pulling up any trees in the Championship. Obviously back there. And, you know, obviously neither are we either. So it's, I think it's really important we get a good start. Like, obviously we've been talking about, I think, you know, we've been behind in the majority of games this season. So, you know, if we can get on the front foot, I think that'll make it hopefully a bit easier for us, where if, you know, we go behind and we know what it's like when you're playing teams in lower divisions, the fans are obviously getting right up for it. So I think it's a massive game in our season, to be honest, because, you know, it's obviously the worst case scenario, but if we go out, you know, what's left really for the rest of the season, and obviously then, you know, there's going to be absolutely huge pressure on the manager, live, like you said, live on BBC Sport.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be huge pressure if that doesn't go our way, against the Hull side who are languishing near the bottom of the Championship, currently sitting 19th, only 4 points above the relegation zone. So Hull are certainly not in any kind of form, so to speak. They're struggling as well. But we've got to really approach it as a one-off game. We've got the players who are asked to play have got a, you know, if anyone, if any of the young lads are being used, if any of them come in, they've got to look to really sort of, you know, give the manager a bit of a prod and say, look at me, you know, and take the chance. As we've seen with Anthony Gordon this season, he's been given the chance. And like I said on the previous show, he's one of those players now you're looking at starting week in, week out. And that's what you want from these games. I'm sure we're going to see some changes along the way. We've got a few players there who might get the nod. Lewis Dobbin maybe being one. I can't see Calvert-Lewin being asked to do another 90 minutes, to be honest with you. No doubt Rondon will probably get the nod up top. But there should be a few changes in the game. But we should still have enough to beat Hull, shouldn't we, Lee? Fingers crossed.
I disagree there. I think you should go full strength. I think you should just go full strength. We need to win a game. We need to win a game. We need to get confidence from somewhere. It's an opportunity for Calvert-Lewin to maybe get a couple of goals potentially as well. Not by any right we deserve to steamroll Hull, by the way, because we don't. You know what I mean? The way we're playing at the minute and the confidence in the camp isn't great. So, you know, yes, they have been struggling. They lost to Blackpool on New Year's Day in a tight game. By all accounts, they were completely robbed against Forest before they had before Christmas. They've had a couple of games postponed. I got a mate who's a Forest fan, and he was saying when they played them, they had an absolute shocker of a penalty against them. And I believe Grant McCann's the manager there, and he had the EFL came out with a public apology saying it was an absolute shocking decision. So they were unlucky in that game as well. Before that, they were on a half decent run. November, early December, they were unbeaten in five or six games. So, yeah, you know, it's one of those, you know, we should be able to put out a side, any side that should beat them, but they're at home. They're going to be up for it. It's going to be a full house, no doubt. That's why, for me, we've got to go full strength. We've got to go full strength. And I'd play Calvert-Lewin, give him 60 minutes if we have to. I know we're playing Leicester, obviously, in the week, but I'd definitely give him 60 minutes at least. You know, he played the full 90 yesterday. He didn't look like too much like he was gassing. He was on his backside. He looked pretty fit. You know, he was putting himself about a bit as well, so it wasn't as if he was trying to nurse his way back in. I'd go full strength. I mean, I'm not sure how far Richarlison's out as well. Did Rafa allude to that in the press conference? Is he far off or not? Do we know?
I don't think he's too far away. I haven't heard any more. I tried to ignore what was said post-match, to be perfectly honest. If, you know, when he first got the injury at Crystal Palace, we were talking maybe sort of 3 or 4 weeks. So I think we're probably looking at maybe second week in Jan. So it might just come a little bit too soon for Richarlison. And, you know, if he's coming back from a slight tear to his calf, you don't want to probably throw him in on a FA Cup game away at Hull. You'd be looking to try and get him back for the league game against Leicester if we can. So who else is going to be fit? I mean, Tom Davis was close. He was back training on grass last week. So another one maybe to add to the squad. Alex Iwobi's going away with Nigeria to the African Cup of Nations. So that'll be him. I think he would have had to travel after the game yesterday. So that'll be him gone. But there's certainly players coming back in. Yeah, Mina still hasn't trained. So I don't know what's going on there.
I think there's a fallout there, by the way. I think there's
possibly
a fallout. Well, it's not gone public. Yeah, it's not gone public. Yeah. I think there's a fallout there purely because he clearly brought him in for that game when I don't think Mina himself thought he was ready. He threw him in against Arsenal, and then he walked down the sun. He basically brought himself off after 20 minutes, didn't he? As if to say, told you I wasn't fit. You know what I mean? And I think Rafa, yeah. I think one of the reasons he got rid of Donaghy was purely because I think he was basically sick-noting a lot of these guys, you know, effectively saying, you know, they're not fit to play. And Rafa would have said, well, I think they are fit to play, so I'm going to play him. And I think that's another spat he's probably had within the club. So don't be surprised, by the way, that, you know, if Mina even goes in January, or certainly I think he'll be going in the summer. But I think there's another fallout there that's happened that's not quite got the same headlines as Luca Dean.
Apparently he's got a chance tomorrow, lads. He, you know, in the press conference after the game, he mentioned that he could be fit. Whether, like you said, Lee, whether that means he'll actually, you know, involve him is another thing. But he said apparently he's got a chance. So
yeah, well, he's famously fallen out with his best mate, James Rodriguez, didn't he? And you know what I mean? He managed to get. Mike, you put those things up on our Twitter account, didn't you? About some of the goals from, like, you know, highlights of 2021, and you look at some of those goals, and you just think, I'm really in tears here looking at some of those goals. You know, when you look at the players who are involved in the goals as well. So yeah, don't be surprised. I genuinely think there'll be a massive overhaul in the summer. Massive. And if he's still there, I think you're looking. Obviously, the players who are out of contract will be going.
Yeah, I agree. I think there will be. There's going to be probably big changes. As you said on the last show, you know, who's going to be in charge? Who knows? You know, we just don't know how things are going to go over the final sort of 5 months of the season. But changes in the summer, yes. Changes in January, of course. I mean, we've already seen a new left-back come in Mikalenko. He was brought out before the game against Brighton. Clearly, the Lucadine replacement. And you said on a previous show, Lee, you know, ideally, he comes in and is phased in over the course of the next, say, 3 or 4 months, whilst Lucadine is still there. So he's not just thrown in from the off. But the situation being what it is, it looks like he's going to be thrown in pretty quickly. Maybe against Hull, you know, he's going to be, you know, COVID potentially might come into play, as we've seen so often. But maybe he's going to be thrown in from the off against Hull. See what he's all about potentially. But we discussed him on the previous show about him coming in and his profile and how he's the perfect age now, and this is the kind of signing Everton should be making and looking, you know, to the future and future proofing things and buying players that you can sell on for a profit. That's what we should be doing. So that's a good deal to get over the line. Unfortunately, not an ideal circumstances that, you know, you would say. What are your thoughts on him, Matty? You know, like we said, it's now a necessity that he did come in because of the Luka Dean situation. But from what you've read or heard about him, you think he's going to be a half decent signing for us?
Fingers crossed, mate. Yeah, like you said, in terms of the profile, he certainly fits it. Funnily enough, I was speaking to Andrzej Kincielski's son over the weekend, just have a chat with him. Obviously, you know, Ukrainian lad himself, and obviously his dad is. Just obviously what he thought and what he'd heard about him. And he said he was a little bit surprised in terms of him coming over now, at sort of this stage in his development. But he said he's very raw. Apparently, he came through Kiev's youth system as a centre-back. Because obviously, you've seen him, he's a big lad, isn't he? Big, broad lad. But, you know, he's got a good engine on him. Gets up and down the pitch. Just said, obviously, he has to work on his crossing a bit, because apparently that's not one of his better attributes. But he said he'll get stuck in, he'll sort of run all day for us. But exactly like what we were saying before, and obviously like Lee said, I think they've got to give him time to bed in and obviously get up to the speed of the Premier League, because obviously it's totally different. It's totally different to, you know, to the Ukraine. So, yeah, fingers crossed, mate. Fingers crossed he'll go on and, you know, have a really good, successful career with us. Like you said, obviously he's young. He could be our left back, you know, for the next 10 years, hopefully, if he does well. But, yeah, I've got to be honest, mate. I haven't really seen much of him. But, you know, hopefully it'll be, you know, a good signing, and hopefully we'll make a few more of them as well.
Yeah, we don't mind signing players in this profile bracket, do we? You know what I mean? Because, you know, at the end of the day, we're signing a kid before he hits his peak. You know, so really, you know, even if he has an indifferent season, he's still going to hold some sort of value. Problem is, when you start signing players, obviously, you know, 30 plus, it's the opposite effect, isn't it? So, yeah, the problem I've got, like I said before, is you know, they need to be eased their way in, and this kid will certainly need to. Yes, he's played in the Champions League against some of the best players in Europe. But, you know, Kiev pretty much go out at the group stage every single season. You know what I mean? So they go from dominating games consistently in their league to then basically being on the back foot in the Champions League. And look, yeah, I've seen that as well. He came through as a centre half. He's, you know, and he's been converted into a left back. By all accounts, he's, from what I've read, he's very quick. His recovery pace is very good. He's very good one on one in terms of the tackle. And, you know, he's not too bad if you look at his stats in terms of being in the final third either. So, look, you know, there clearly is a prospect there. We've clearly scouted him. You know, by all accounts and what we've been told, he's one of them on Brands' list that Rafa's approved. And then conversely, if we get Patterson on the other side, which looks like, you know, it's all but done. Again, someone who's raw, someone who's a young kid. You know, clearly well thought of at Rangers. Rangers have really, you know, if you've read The Athletic with Greg O'Keefe this morning, you know, they were trying to, you know, they've tried to keep hold of their best players the last couple of seasons now, and he's the first one that's really gone out the door. You know, so again, a little bit of a risk because obviously he's a young kid. He's not been able to push their captain out the team at right back. You know, but he's clearly a talented kid. So hopefully he gets given the opportunity again to, you know, ease his way in. You know, I mean, you can't just throw him in straight away and expect him to be $1 million. You know, he's going to need time as well. He'll be a bit more sort of used to the sort of, you know, physical side of the game in the Premier League, but the pace of the game will be far quicker than what it is in Scotland. So he'll need time to adjust to that as well. And, you know, it's just a shame that these kids are coming into a team that's just, you know, really lacking confidence, really on a bad run of form. And you know, a team that's really disconnected from the fan base at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, Patterson, we know we were linked with him in the summer, weren't we? And we were trying to get that deal done then, and we couldn't come to an agreement. Obviously, finances certainly hampered things for ourselves at that particular point. Obviously, Luca Dean's going to be on his way out. So the money which is brought in for Luca Dean and potentially one or two others, whether it be Mason Holgate or Yerry Mina, there's going to be probably more money coming in. Plus, we have got there is money from the summer, which we can fall back on as well, in terms of the Moyes Keane deal, Vlasic, as I mentioned in the past, there's those kind of deals as well. But Patterson was certainly a target in the summer. Marcel Brands was certainly one of his picks. He's going to be sold by Rangers to us for a club record fee, which tells you all you need to know and how highly regarded Rangers actually do hold him. Like you said, Lee, you know, he's a young kid. We can't be expecting him to come in and tear up the Premier League. It's not going to happen. You know, the beauty of it is, I suppose, is Seamus Coleman is still there. Ideally, you know, it's a signing that would have been fantastic to have made in the summer and then being able to sort of gradually bring him in over the course of the first sort of 3 or 4 months. Seamus Coleman, as we know, is being asked to play more than he always should be doing at this particular stage in his career. Not like we've said, not his fault. But you know, this kid can come in and learn off Seamus Coleman, which is fantastic. But important, Matty, as I said, we can't be expecting him to come in, can we, and be uprooting trees, and you know, just because we feel Seamus Coleman, you know, his best days are behind him. And he struggled a little bit at times, that this kid's just going to come in and be the answer. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of learning for him to actually bed himself into that side.
Definitely, mate. And I think, you know, Lee made a good point before, just in terms of obviously the anger and the frustration the fans have got at the moment, not just with the team, but the club in general. That can't be forced onto these young lads coming in. They've got to be given the time, to, like you said, to bed in. And obviously find their feet in a different league, obviously different setup, different style of play, different pace as well. Obviously, like we mentioned, you know, instead of the league, we should be looking at, yeah, hopefully they'll go on from strength to strength.
My worry is here, though. Wasn't in the grand scheme of things, we've thrown quite a few quid at this left back. Was left back a priority? It's not really, is it? You know, in the grand scheme of things, you've got one of the best left backs in the league, regardless of what everyone says. For me, he's still one of the best left backs in the league. And, you know, it's not really a priority to be bunging 20 million quid at another young left back to come in. Yes, look, you want a team, ideally. We've all said this in any sport. You want two players for every position where they're pushing each other, they're fighting for that shirt. So therefore, the levels get automatically raised from that position. It processes a natural selection job, isn't it? You know what I mean? Who's gonna fight for the shirt? And literally, bunging 20 million quid at a left back is for me, it wasn't the priority to do it, especially when, you know, we're really teetering on the edge in terms of FFP and everything else. I'd rather have that money gone, you know, into central midfield with a ball carrier or potentially someone else at front or whatever. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather it have gone in areas of the pitch that we need it. We do need a right back. We've needed one for ages. We know that. So I'm glad we're addressing that. But to throw another 20 million quid at a left back, you know, by all accounts, this, obviously Nkunku's gone over to Belgium. He's having a good season. You know, when he made a few cameo appearances under Carlo last season, yeah, look, he was fragile defensively, but he was electric going forward, wasn't he? Do you know what I mean? But we've clearly made a decision on him. So, yeah, that wasn't a priority for me to throw. You know, good luck to the kid, and he may go on to be a star, and he could be a real coup for us, but that wasn't a priority for me at this stage of the season.
No, it wasn't, and that's why the end of Luka Dean's Everton career is so sour. You know, like you say, it wasn't needed. It might have happened in the summer because we've been looking at this Mikhailenko for quite a while. So there's no problem in looking to replace players. We know that's all part of the game, but it was more the situation, and it's the situation around Luka Dean, which has now forced us to go out there and spend this amount of money on a left back who's a gamble. You know, but all the attributes to be a success, but when you do buy players from leagues which are nowhere near as competitive as the Premier League, they do take time to adapt, or sometimes the step can be too much. You know, we hope with this lad it's not the case. Obviously, everyone's going to be behind them. But again, with both Mikhailenko and Patterson, don't expect too much too soon would be my advice to people. You know, Ben Godfrey for me will probably keep on playing left back for the foreseeable with this kid getting, you know, 15, 20 minutes and then gradually bring him through. But like I said, he might start against Hull, you know, potentially. But I would prefer, you know, Ben Godfrey to stay where he is and then gradually just introduce this kid to English football. But we'll see. You know, it's a big game Saturday. Like Matty, you said earlier on, you know, if we lose that game, what is left of this season? Not a lot is the answer. And the pressure really would be on the manager, assuming he's still there and in charge for Saturday. But we'll see. Matty, appreciate you staying on for this episode as well. Fingers crossed we can talk about a win on next week's show.
Yeah, hope so, lads. Thanks very much for having me anyway. Hopefully see you soon.
No problem at all, mate. And we'll be back ourselves after the whole game. We'll look back on that and then look ahead to the rearranged game at Goodison Park against Leicester the following Tuesday. So we'll catch you then.
The Unholy Trinity Podcast. Three blues, three opinions, one Everton podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.